for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 30th, 2019. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the final seduction.
We're going to teach on something today. And the title there is going to, even though that's the title that you're going to see up there, Alien Scientist and DNA, but I'm going to rename it. I've taught this before, but I'm going to rename it, and it's going to be called The Final Seduction. But before we go there, I believe the Lord's instructed me to make an admonishment here in the Lord, an encouragement. How many came here to get delivered? How many want to walk out that deliverance?
Yes.
You need to, in order to do that, we have to fully pattern our lives after Jesus Christ, but we're going to have to walk in love.
Amen.
So you need to go, I always tell people to walk to 1 Corinthians 13 and walk through that chapter, which is often called the love chapter.
Amen.
And see if our life reflects this. And where it doesn't, start saying, God help me. I want to look like this. Paul says, I may speak in the languages of human and of angels, but if I don't, you know, it's kind of funny. And I don't know if somebody can prove me wrong if you want, but it's one of those things like Brother Dion said yesterday, things that are said in the Bible that might not, about things that might not be in the Bible. And you'll hear it said that the devil can't understand the prayer language. I don't find that anywhere. Huh? Paul says it's mysteries. We may not understand it unless Paul gives an interpretation. But that don't mean these demons don't understand what's being said. They can't do nothing about it because it's God saying what He wants to.
Yes.
But Paul just says, here, speak His name of in the language of humans and angels. So if anything, they probably understand it full well. That's a bonus for whoever will. I've heard tongues come out that are rebuking the devil. You just know it. Well, they got to understand to be rebuked.
That's right.
Okay.
Come on.
I may the Lord help me in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and mercy today, and I thank You for Your kindness, and I thank You for a people that You grant understanding to, and the wisdom on how to walk it out. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name. I may speak in the languages of humans and angels, but if I don't have love, I am a loud gong or a clashing cymbal. I may have a gift to speak what God has revealed. And I may understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. I may even have enough faith to move mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. I may even give away all that I have and give up my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, none of these things will help me. And he goes on to say, love is. That's where you need to start comparing. What do I look like? Am I bearing all things? That doesn't mean that we're in agreement with everything. That means we're able to bear things because we know God's going to work something good. He says if we love that we believe, but love believes all things. That doesn't mean we believe every wind and doctrine. It means we believe God is able to fix whatever is broke. Okay? Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments.
Better read that again, but...
And actually, God said back there in Deuteronomy and in Exodus that He says that He visits the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those that hate Him.
Yes.
And Jesus just said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So that doesn't mean that everybody that word hate literally means those that choose not to obey. How many know you can't obey unless you have Him in you?
That's right.
And it's only when it's love. He said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Listen to me. Unless His love is flowing into you, you don't have a shot of obeying His commandments. You'll obey till you fall. and you're going to say, because you're trying to out of your own strength. And there's an exchange to be made. It says, in my weakness, He's made strong.
Yes.
Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Praise God. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If the love of God is not flowing in me, I'll never be able to love me. If I can't love me, I can't love you. I told someone today, and I'll say it to this group, when you start looking at lost people and you look at what's going on with people in the body of Christ, the problem, and listen, we're all a work in progress, but people that are really, really getting beat up don't know how much the Father loves them. Amen. Jesus said we're to love one another 5 times in the Gospel. He said to love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Over and over. We deal with witchcraft. We deal with that stuff. Brothers talked about a curse causeless cannot fall. I think that's been said a couple of times. Well, listen. The biggest way that something sent against you is going to fall is when your love walk is off. Is when your love walk is off. Faith even works by love. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another toward all men, even as we do towards you. Over and over, we're admonished to love. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears not is made perfect in love. If you're walking in fear, you don't know how much the Father loves you.
That's right.
There's a difference between feeling fear and fear giving you an opportunity to agree with it and walking in fear. And by the way, worry, anxiety, pressure, tension, that's all fear. If you fear failure, you're not walking in perfect love. Fear of failure messes up. Listen, fear of failure will drive people to fail on purpose. Almost as if to just get it over with. 49 verses found in the Scriptures, and this would probably be in the King James. It might be, you know, varying numbers, but 49 it says, love God. Love the brethren 7 times. Love one another 9 times. Some definitions of love found in the dictionaries. Unselfish, benevolent concern for another, brotherly concern, self-denying, self-sacrificing, Christ-like love, which is the foundation of all other graces. The high esteem which God has for His human children. And the high regard which they in turn should have for him and other people. Some descriptions of love. I'm not going to quote each verse for the sake of time. Build each other up. Look out for each other's best interests. Bear one another's burdens. Are kind to one another. Honor and respect one another. Serve each other. Admonish each other. Confess your sins to each other. Forgive each other. Think of one another. Do not judge each other. Accept each other. Do not stand in each other's way. Don't be a stumbling block. Regard others as more important than yourself. Everybody say, forgive me, Lord. If you're fighting at home or fighting with people, perfect love will cast out fears not in your heart because you have to defend yourself or fight to get your way. There's a time and there's authority and there's time and there's right and wrong. But listen, do you know how many people divorced just because they wanted it their way when it would have been just as easy to prefer the other? What if you get in a blessing contest? A bless-off. Preacher, just saying. So many things are just, listen, I told somebody earlier, listen, back in the day my wife and I were fighting. In the early years of our marriage, it's like the demons would provoke her, and then they'd provoke me, and once we got started, they'd sit back and have fun watching. Literally, laughing at it. I saw it. I'm tired of those laughing at me, using me for entertainment. try to destroy my life or her destroy me. Say, Lord, forgive me. For entertaining demons. Hindrances to walking in love. So one of the main messages that comes through loud and clear from studying the Bible is the extreme importance that God the Father is placing that everyone learn how to love Him, love ourselves, love one another, and to even go so far as to be able to love our enemies and those who try to hurt us. Our abilities as fallen humans to love one another is very limited. That is why it's so important for each and every Christian to work very closely with the Holy Spirit to get this fruit, His fruit, working in our lives, in the core of our personality. It is only when the love of the Holy Spirit starts to flow and enter our personalities can we even begin to love God, love ourselves, and love one another the way God wants us to be. As we go through this sanctification process with the Lord, this quality should be listed as the number one quality you seek for Yahweh to put on the core of your soul and personality. For Christ to be formed in us, His type of unconditional love has to be received. Say, Lord, I got my receiver on. Pursue and give. Help me to give, Lord, what you freely give me. Holy Spirit will, with your permission, get this quality imparted into your mind, soul, and emotions due to the extreme importance of it in your walk with God. You can be the greatest man of God and have some of the greatest gifts of God flowing through you or woman, but if you're not walking with all of this in the spirit of love and humility, it'll be for naught. You can go through, now here, this deliverance camp, right? Say, I don't want to be a revolving door for demons. You can go through repeated deliverance and not walk in love, and your soul and body will be a revolving door for demonic oppression. If we refuse to be filled with the Holy Spirit and His love, we will receive and produce fruit from the enemy manifesting His works of the flesh. Lord, forgive me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
wherever I've failed to love,
been prideful, judgmental,
even mean
to others,
and myself.
Fail
to humble myself enough
to let God love me
and let Jesus love
be enough for me.
And the blood of Jesus
be enough for me.
I repent.
I repent for haughtiness,
rudeness.
I repent
for every sin
that blocks the love of God
by receiving the love of God.
I'm binding a silent strong man,
sign against me and my family.
I forgive everyone
that failed to love me.
I break every assignment
of the rulers,
chief princes,
chief rulers.
I'm binding the nobles,
all nobles of darkness.
I break the power
of Baal,
Jezebel,
Leviathan,
Python,
Queen of Heaven,
Queen of the Coast.
I thank you, Lord,
for your warriors,
pushing them back in the heavenlies,
knocking these demons out of me now.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Father,
for living water
that flushes
out every river of death.
All the marine spirits,
in the name of Jesus,
I thank you, Lord,
for healing me,
changing my cellular memory,
repairing my DNA.
In the name of Jesus,
I command dark light to go,
dark sounds to go,
unloving to go,
unloved to go,
unlovable to go,
all hatred to go,
deaf and dumb spirits to go,
rejection to go,
every spirit
that blocks me
from
knowing the love of the Father.
Go.
Go.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath. Let them go.
Let him go. Out.
Waters from the previous repentance. Let him go. Let them go. Everything is lost from understanding love. Get out. Get out. Get out. Come on. Go, 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 go. In Jesus' name, Lord, rebuke you. You lying spirits. You lied to them about who they are. Lied to them about the love of God. Lied to them about the value. Take another deep breath. Let them go. Let them go. Come on. Come on. Go, 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 go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you.
I receive it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, so I told you I'm changing this name to the final deception for this teaching, but it is going to be about alien scientists, DNA, the things that were and the things that are going on now. And then we're going to finish with we'll finish with deliverance. So we started with it, and we'll finish with it. But Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Whatever was, it's going to be again. In the beginning, Genesis 1:26, 1:27, 1:28, God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, and over the fowl in the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything that lives that moves upon the earth. Key things there, God gave man dominion. Later in the Psalms, you'll see a place in the Psalms where He said He made the earth to man. God gave man power and authority to do what He wants to do on the earth. Man's choice. God still owns it. But He gave us authority. Kind of like if you were renting a house. You got the keys, you decide what goes on in there every day. Landlord doesn't. Right? You have authority. Well, that's what was given to man. We let the devil come in. So if you ever had a question in your mind, or you know somebody that's going that age-old question, well, why would a good, loving God let all these bad things happen? It's because He gave the earth to man, and He's not a liar.
That's right.
If He controlled every... Now listen, God ultimately, He's God. But He doesn't control you. Or me. You can choose hell. He's not a control freak. He's the furthest thing from a control freak. That's the character of the devil. God gave every human being free will choice. So bad things happen to good people because God gave man free will choice. How many would like to be totally controlled? God wanted a family. A family has to interact with you. The devil's a liar. How many know that he's right in people's ears blaming God for things all the time? Okay? Yeah, God allows things to happen. It's been said that's the truth. I preached a message here last Thanksgiving about Thanksgiving in the storm, and then 2 weeks later, I had a tornado blow my place out. It's been a pretty good year here. Okay? I never questioned the goodness of God. I asked Him why things were allowed so I could learn. Okay? But I never questioned His goodness. Sometimes it's just to grow. Sometimes maybe you're too busy. If you live in a repented life, listen, I know the life I live. I do know. And I live a repented life. And I do everything I can by His grace to agree with Him on what's holy and what's not. So if something happens, there's a mystery there. I just want to know the answer, Lord. So how come the devil was allowed to do what he does? Thank you, Father. Dominion. Key word. Something happened, though. See, God did all of His creation and He said it was good, and then something happened. Genesis 6.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply and face the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took the wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The word sons of God, when you see it in the Old Testament, it referred, and I'm going to show you, it refers to angels, to created immortal beings, not human beings. After Jesus came and we got adopted into the family of God, now sons of God in our New Testament writing refers to us. But then it was not humans. Many people debated whether sons of God refers to angels or men. The Hebrew word for sons of God is B'nai HaElohim. And that which means these are heavenly beings, giving credence to them being fallen angels. We see the children of these sons of God and daughters of men were mighty men and men of renown. They were also giants. Something in their genetics made them supersized people. And I present to you that it was their fallen angelic parentage. A simple observation is when you breed a horse and a donkey, you get a mule. It's no longer a horse, it's no longer a donkey. There was a saying, or a belief, or a theology, as would you say, a logic, a God, and man's logic. There's a belief called the Sethite view that said that what was being said here was that Cain's sons took Seth's daughters. So unrighteous men slept with righteous women, but it created giants. How many know maybe the person that happened? Have you ever been? Listen, I was married. I had children when I wasn't walking with God. They aren't giants. Humans beget humans. They don't create giants. And these things were giants. Everybody heard of Goliath? So that was after the flood. Before that, they were even bigger. And they were much bigger than Goliath. Genetics are irrefutable. They bring forth their own kind. Humans on humans bring humans. No matter what colors, what mix, it's humans. They bring forth humans. Okay? Now I'm going to show you more about B'nai Elohim. The Bible is self-confirming, and one passage of Scripture can always be confirmed by another. Here's the term sons of God next used in the book of Job. Job 2:1 states, Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Hebrew term here, once again, is B'nai HaElohim. And as we know, these sons of God here are clearly angelic beings who are presenting themselves before the Lord in heaven. Satan is among them, who is, of course, a fallen cherubim, a heavenly being. Now, can you even go back to the Seth and the Cain thing? You're saying, what are we saying there? What are we saying that this group of men is more evil than this group? That means, and it's going to create giants because of that? It doesn't work. I believe it is evident what the Hebrew term means. The implication here is that fallen angels married human women and produced children with them. And this act was so abhorrent to the Lord that He punished them. First with a flood, and then with imprisonment. Something has happened on the earth. There's something new on the earth. And God did not pronounce it good. Following are a few different translations. CEB version says, the divine being saw how beautiful these women were, so they married the ones they chose. CEB says, some of their daughters were so beautiful that supernatural beings came down and married the ones they wanted. Good News Bible, when the human race spread all over the world and daughters were being born, some of the heavenly beings saw that these young women were beautiful, so they took the ones they liked. King James Version. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty. Gomorrah is the word. Hebrew words have to be looked in context. You can find Gomorrah in a description of David's mighty men. That doesn't mean they were all giants. But in this text, in this Gomorrah, you just got shown that the sons of God took the daughters of men. What? It is also a word for giants. They were men were of old, men of renown. And that could have been translated shame instead of renown. Ever seen the Amplified Bible? You know what it basically does? It's taking the Greek and the Hebrew word and adding the potential things that could have been being said. Not saying that what was said in any given translation is wrong. It's just adding depth to the depth of meaning of the word. Everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your word.
For your word.
In those days, giants lived on the earth and also afterwards when divine beings and human daughters had sexual relations and gave birth to children. These were ancient heroes, famous men. Pretty plain there. New American Standard, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. They were mighty men who were old men of renown. Young's literal. The fallen ones were in the earth in those days and even afterwards when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and they have born to them. And they are the heroes who are from old, the men of name. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, and both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. You know, God's such a good God. It had to be bad. It had to be bad. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So this word perfect in his generations, it's a word tamayim, and it's basically the same word used to describe a perfect lamb, a flawless physical specimen that had to be chosen when they looked for a Passover lamb. That doesn't mean Noah was a perfect man. Noah needed a Savior like we need a Savior. Okay? But he was not genetically altered. Noah was chosen to carry on and restart humanity after the flood because he's a believer in God. Additionally, he was perfect in his generations, which seems to apply his genetic bloodline and ancestry was 100% human. Noah had not been part of the Nephilim hybridization that was plaguing humanity. I just explained that to you. Whosoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or free will offering in beads or sheep, it shall be perfect. Same word, tamayim. Well, the Bible said it happened again afterwards. So after the flood, the promised land, Canaan land, where God was sending Israel, was stacked with giant tribes. There was Deuteronomy 2:20, land of giants. Giants dwelt there in the old time, and the Ammonites called them Zanzimites. Numbers 13:33, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Deuteronomy 3:13, the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh all the region of Argob with all Bashan, which is called the land of the giants. Joshua answered them, if there be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. Deuteronomy 2:11, again, the Anakims and the Emims. Then again in Joshua 15:19, the valley of the giants northwards. See the words in red. Again, Joshua 18:16, valley of the giants on the north. Joshua 13:12, of the remnant of the giants. 2 Samuel 21:19, there was again a battle on Gob of the Philistines where Elhanan, the son of Jeroboam, however you say that, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. 2 Samuel 21:20, there's another battle in Gath. A man of great stature said he had six fingers and six toes, born to the giant. Amos 2:9, yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them. This is God speaking, whose height was like the height of the cedars and who was as strong as the oaks. You'll see that wherever there was a giant tribe, that when they were obeying God, he would go before them and whack the giants and weaken them up so that Israel could come along and whip them. The cedars in the Middle East are huge trees. They're different from the small cedars in America. Cedars from Lebanon were used to construct the Temple of Jerusalem. Let's take a look at a picture or two for perspective. So there's the cedar. The average cedar now is 24 to 36 foot high, with some of them over 100 feet tall. Okay? Now, those woods have been cut down a lot. You can, in that day, in Lebanon, they covered. There's no telling how big these trees were. They're ancient. So, to give you a perspective, if they were as tall as the cedars, then on the left is the 6 foot man. Next to him would be Og of Bashan and Goliath. Goliath is next, and then Og, King Og of Bashan. Then, if you're looking at 24 to 36 foot tall, the other three guys are what God's describing. So, how many know that maybe those, you know, we read the story about the spies that went into the promised land and came back and said, we're like grasshoppers? And there was two that had a different spirit, but it was the Spirit of the Lord, because anybody without the Spirit of the Lord would not want to have faced that. Now, of course, if you don't believe the Bible, then this would be hard to swallow. There are extra-canonical books of Enoch and Jasher. And when I say extra-canonical, these are not Bibles that we're going to say are part of our canon. We're not going to call them Holy Scripture. But yet, they were quoted in the Bible. So the Bible writers were familiar. And even Jesus quoted Enoch. Jude quotes Enoch directly. So there is a understanding of the people at the time that they read these books and acknowledged them. So the book of Enoch has detailed description of these fallen angels, how many of them there was, and the agreement they made. And they made an agreement, according to that book, amongst themselves, and swore themselves one to another to do the thing that they did. And interestingly enough, it's called, where they did that is called Mount Hermon. Okay? We call Mount Hermon is the Mount of Transfiguration. So when Jesus was up on that mountain and he showed up in his glory, he's telling those fallen ones, you didn't stop me. This is the whole goal of this. First of all, you got to go back to the Lord telling Adam and Eve, and in his encounter with Adam and Eve and Satan, and he told them, he said, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. God prophesied at that moment that someone was coming, and he was going to come out of the woman. Okay? And seed of the woman, women don't have seed, so that was a different kind of deal anyway. And Jesus' Father, as Jesus became the only begotten Son, is not a man, but God. Okay? But the enemy knew someone was coming, and that someone was going to do something to his camp. And so, when these angels did this thing, I want to tell you, so if this is the final seduction, and we're going to lead up to why this is, and we will be praying to strip things that could blind us. But I want you to hear that genetically, Adam fell. So the last Adam had to come out of the seed of the woman in order to redeem us. And if they were able to come and genetically modify all the human beings on the earth, there would be no seed of the woman. It was an attempt to stop Jesus. Now they didn't stop him, and God flooded the earth and gave us a do-over. But somehow it happened again afterwards, because the promised land was full of these guys. How many know the devil knew where the Messiah had to come out of too? So they were sitting in that camp to stop the Redeemer again. But let's look at some of the architectural evidence throughout the earth for these giants and their mixtures. I'm going to move on into that. Enoch, by the way, says the same thing about this story. Okay? Jasher says the same thing. Josephus, who is a historian at the time of Jesus, says the same thing. And throughout almost every culture in the world is the story of beings that came from the sky, took women for wives, created giants, and in most cases were cannibals too. So,
we can get you out there.
Does that look human to you? See that skull? You find them like that? And you see it in the Egyptian hieroglyphics. They found them in Russia. They found them in South America. And there are people that headboard that warp people's skulls. Okay? Now, where did they get the idea, for one? Because who would do that? But the problem with these skeletons is that they don't have the same suture lines that a human has. And the volume of the skull is way bigger than ours. So if you headboard something, it may change shape, but it doesn't change volume. And it doesn't change in sutures. And when they pull the DNA off of these things, they can find what's called the matriarchal DNA, and they find it as human. But what's called a nuclear DNA, which is the father's side, they don't know what it is. So here's some more. They call these Paracas skulls. They have one with all their hair. I don't know if you can see that. But down in South America, Russia, another Russian one. You know, the world has a way of showing us stuff right in front of our face. How many are old enough to remember the Coneheads when we were... Huh? We just thought it was funny.
It was.
And it was funny.
It was funny.
To look at. But it had some merit. It wasn't just an imagination. They're telling you. They mixed animals and humans. Some of the extra canonical books say that. All these hieroglyphics that we see, they altered the DNA. So, and then these beings were worshipped as gods. So, not only were the fallen angels worshipped as gods pre-flood, God said, let there be no other mighty ones before me. No other gods. And the literal term is mighty ones. He called them also Elohim. There are God that actually sits in a council of what he calls gods. There's one most high God, and there's none like him. But there are supernatural beings that we contend with. People are not praying to imagine. They are beings that are being called on that get answered. This guy here is Horus. Half. No, that's not Horus. That's Osiris, a picture of Osiris, half jackal, half human. The guy next to him is Horus. Every culture, here's the Assyrians, here's the goat man, the Greeks and the Romans. Now listen, all these creatures had the same name at one time at Babel. And then and because there was one language on the earth. And then when the land was split, the land divided, and God made all the languages, they took on different names in different cultures. So the Hindus, there's an animal mixture. There's another animal-human mixture. That's an elephant man. It's kind of dim. You can't see it. It's a strange creature. Aztec, Mayan, snake men, owl men. Here's the Grand Canyon. Look at that cat, walking centipede. Here's a man. That thing right there represents the portal from the other realm. Every culture, all over the world. Cavemen didn't dream this stuff up. There's a place called, now I'm going to show you architecture. And listen, I'm going to tell you why some of this matters that we know. It's not something to shift you from Jesus crucified. Yes. It's something because we've been lied to historically. And God's the spirit of truth. And this is going to lead up to what's coming. What's already happening. Okay? And so you've got kids that are taught the gospel, and then they got architecture all over the world that nobody can explain. So the world's explanation is aliens did it from outer space. Okay? We'll go into that later. But yet there's a biblical explanation. There are three stones used in this temple in Baalbek that I'm about to show you. They measure 290 feet long and 160 feet wide, and they weigh 750 to 800 tons each. Nearby in a quarry sits an unused stone that weighs 1,200 tons. That's the weight of three passenger airplanes. How did these ancient masons do that? How did they cut, transport, and lift these stones on top of other stones weighing 350 tons each? That's things we can't do today. they could do it then. Pre-flood. These are the Nazca lines. These are down in South America. You see how those lines are cut? And there's all sorts of shapes. There's monkeys, all sorts of things. But you can't see them but from the sky. You can't even climb up on a mountain and do this. But yet they're perfectly done in perfect lines. Here's a place. And look, the Incas themselves. So a lot of things attributed to the Incas. The Incas themselves said that there was a people before them. And they were a giant people. Okay? And that they inherited their cities. But I want to show you something. See these stones on the top? That's Inca's work. See the stones on the bottom? These are your pre-flood structures. You see how these stones... Listen, these stones were literally melted and poured into place. And you can't stick a razor blade between any of them. People on horseback didn't do that. Fallen angels and their offspring did that work. Technology greater than what we have today. Pyramid at Giza. 2.5 million blocks of limestone which weigh 20 to 70 tons each. Base covers 13 acres and its volume is around 90 million cubic feet. Anybody ever walk in sand?
Yeah.
You ever try to... Listen, you put a log on sand and put a brick on top of it that weighs 70 tons, you ain't moving it, but I don't care how many men you try to drag it with. But a supernatural being with supernatural strength can do it. And the way these things have been built, we can't even duplicate the fullness of that today. Place called Punapuku here in Bolivia. Those stones... And see how they're carved and they're set perfectly in place and got those straight lines and straight edges. You can't even drill through them with a drill bit with our technology. And they were moved from like 70 miles away into that place. Everybody ever seen a swastika? Everybody thinks that's it is a sign that is attributed to the Nazis, but it's an ancient symbol. They borrowed it. You can find it all over the world. And you find it in the Buddhist places. You find it in the Hindu places. You find it in the Native American places. Everything in Bible split went all over the place. Ultimately, it is a symbol of an opening into the spirit realm. A vortex. And it is also elemental. Earth, wind, fire, rain. What the enemy works with. So, here's some old pictures. I think that came out of Samaria. Look at the size of this guy. Look at the size of this guy. Look at the size of this guy. Look at the human right there. There's a craft of some kind. Showing the star. There's another human right there. Look at the size of this person here compared to that human. Kind of interesting. What is that? And it's thousands of years old. So they're able, look. Nobody knows the fullness of what goes on, but we know the fullness of God's Word. And I can tell you, without a shadow of doubt, that aliens didn't come plant us here. Okay? But supernatural beings that turned and left their first estate, and people will have a problem. I remember, had people say, well, God said the angels don't marry. He said the angels in heaven don't do it. They don't do it in heaven. And there was a woman asking what happens. And there was a woman that had seven husbands. Which one will she be with in heaven? He said, you don't even know your scriptures. He said, she'll be with nobody in heaven because she's going to be like the angels in heaven. Well, these angels weren't in heaven. In Jude, it says they left their first estate. They left what God created them to do. But an angel wouldn't necessarily need the technology, but its offspring might. That was part human. Here's some more pictures. I believe that's the wall of the Grand Canyon. It's an interesting flying craft, isn't it? Estimated 4,500 years old. How does that apply to us today? Matthew 24:7, here's the words of Jesus. It's red letters. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given into marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them. So when you have Jesus giving us words like that, we see the word says what was will be again. It might bear good idea for us to know what's coming. And I'm going to show you how this will be the deception that comes. We need to know what's coming. We need to be a people that walk in truth. We need to be a people that are able to explain to these kids why this architecture is all over the place. We need to explain that there were supernatural beings, but they weren't aliens from another planet that's planted us here. Things were happening in the days of Noah, beginning in Genesis chapter 6. So what about aliens and UFOs? The world about us today is proclaiming we're being visited from outer space. Many are believing the story that humans were created by these visitors. Ancient cultural history and architectural evidence overwhelmingly points to beings superior to man in intelligence and technology to have been here. Present to you that these beings were being worshipped and still are worshipped in the form of the many false gods throughout the world. We've looked at some of the amazing architecture and carvings found throughout our planet. How many have seen the show on TV called Ancient Aliens? Anybody here? Well, take that and look at it through a biblical lens. It's obvious that mankind and the history we've been told about mankind did not produce these things. But right there in the Bible, the Lord shows us it wasn't aliens. It was His. Listen, these things worshiped these gods. What the Greek gods, the Roman gods. Those are just different names for things in the history that came across the flood that men were worshiping with different names and different cultures. So the thing about aliens is it used to be you could say it was crazy on Uncle Joe. But now there are so many encounters all over the world with spacecraft, with beings, people actually being kidnapped, taken up. And every time they're kidnapped, guess what they do with them? They take their male and female DNA because they're doing something. They're not aliens. They're fallen angels. Nothing new under the sun. Now, they may have gotten smarter because according to the Bible in Jude and Peter, those fallen angels that did what they did have kept in chains. So maybe this group decided they wouldn't sleep with the women, but they'll use technology. They have taught human beings how to create hybrid animals. Animal humans. You can't discredit it when there's that many people. Now, here's the deal. Whenever a real Christian encounters those things, when they rebuke them in Jesus' name, they go away. What does that tell you? I saw one story about a man who had started being kidnapped by these things when he was a little boy. And they would take him. And they would do things to him. And he was tormented. He was 50-something years old. And the man that had some understanding led him to Jesus. And he broke that. And the next time they showed up, he rebuked them in Jesus' name. They never showed up again. We have power and authority.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.